on your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio.
Now the green light switched on. Ready.
With the latest news, interviews and tips from kennels and courses around the country.
Fernando Bale came out of the machine, Hammond.
Welcome to Going Greyhounds.
26 to 11, and we'll see what's been happening in the world of greyhound racing with John Prash. Good morning, John.
Good morning to you, Cozzy. Good morning, everyone. Yes, there is not a week goes by that there's not plenty happening in greyhound racing, and we've had plenty of feature races, particularly over in the west. Over in Cannington on Saturday night, we had heats of the Perth Cup and Perth Galaxy, and what some outstanding wins there. We'll touch on that with Peter O'Neill a little later on the program. We've got the Maitland Cup coming up on Thursday night, and we're going to catch up with Terry Jordan, the trainer of Fernando Blaster, the quickest heat winner and the early pre-post favourite for the final. And, of course, last night at South Australia in Murray Bridge, they ran the Murray Bridge Cup on the new track for the first time, and it was taken out by the Andrew Parra Skevis trained greyhound there, and we'll catch up with Andrew a little later on, and that was I Got It. But just to first of all, a little bit of news, and was welcome news for participants in Greyhound Racing New South Wales earlier last week, that Greyhound Racing New South Wales Chief Executive Officer Tony Mestroff announced that there would be prize money increases to Tab C class races, and the maidens are up 47%, up to $830 to the winners. The fifth grades in for the short journeys are up 34% to $850 to the winner. For the sprint distance, $875 to the winner. And for the distance races, $950. For fourth graders, new prize money to the winner, $900, up 36% for the short, $950 for the sprinters, and $1,000 for the distance. And then for the third graders, it'll be $950 to the winner in the short, $1,000 to the winner in the sprint, and $1,100 in the distance. So I'm sure that's very welcome news in the country areas with the prize money increases there for the Tab C meetings. And according to the press release from the Chief Executive Officer, this is just the start of many prize money increases across the board in New South Wales. Most importantly for participants, Greyhound Racing New South Wales wishes to advise that tomorrow night's meeting at Gosford has been abandoned, and that was abandoned yesterday afternoon after the wet weather over the last few days has played havoc with the track surface there with some washouts, etc. So the Greyhound Racing New South Wales, in conjunction with the GBOTA, made that call early to allow trainers to nominate for upcoming meetings, which close over the next couple of days. So there'll be no racing at Gosford tomorrow, and Greyhound Racing New South Wales will advise over the next couple of days how that work is progressing. Of course, nominations closed today for the new recently announced auction and race series, the Golden Muzzle. It's open to pups whelped between the 1st of July 2018 and the 31st of January 2019. It's restricted to 150 pups. The auction, the Golden Muzzle auction, will be staged at Richmond on Sunday the 23rd of June this year, and they'll be all striving to go into a race series at Wentworth Park in 2020 worth $40,000 to winning connections. So if you have a pup in that age bracket and you'd like to enter the pup in the Golden Muzzle auction, that is open from today. There's 150 spots available. Of course, tomorrow night at Bulleye, you will see another pet prep seminar, and that will take place between the hours of 5:30 and 8 o'clock tomorrow at the Bulleye GBOTA course. Of course, we had on Friday night at Wentworth Park the first of the Friday night lightnings. There was 10 races over the short 280 metres, and was very well received by the trainers on track there racing on Friday night. And despite the wet weather conditions in the afternoon, saw plenty of crowd turn up to Wentworth Park to enjoy the festivities on and off the track on Friday night, and that continues again this week and for the next 4 weeks, the Friday Night Lightning Series. At Wentworth Park on Saturday night, we had two more preludes for the Golden Eggster Egg Series, and The Little Bitch Midnight Dare, she didn't disappoint for trainer Dave Pringle, making it 5 from 5 and scoring in 29.90. She was able to defeat Nengar Panda and off the leash. A very, very strong effort by Midnight Dare. She was challenged in the early stages by off the leash, but she pulled away over the final part and came away to score by 3.5 lengths. The other prelude went to Fancy Mac for Cliff Bell in 30.09, defeating Veloce Nero and Tap Out Dusty. Time honours for the night was won by Federal Lily, now in the Peter Lagogiani kennel, running 29.72 at Wentworth Park on Saturday night. At Bulleye Saturday night, they had the running of the Graham Gibbons Memorial and a strong effort by Ritzavoni successful for Mart Gatt in 26.17, coming from off the speed to beat Prince Planet. La Grand Quality was back in third position. Good strong run of 26.17 to Ritzavoni, one of the handful of quickest times run so far this year. Back last Thursday night in Brisbane at Albion Park, there were two heats of the Racing Queensland Young Guns, and a young gun that we should keep our eye on is Blue Diva for Ray and Mary Berman of Champagne Sally fame. She was very, very strong in her heat, winning in 30 seconds even. And then the other heat was taken out by the recent Richmond Oaks winner in Damn Slippery, returning to home soil in running 29.98. Tony Brett has qualified 3 runners for that final. Painted Pitcher in running 3rd, Valentino Fox 2nd, and Bad Benny in running 3rd. So that's going to be a great race at Albion Park next Thursday night. Well, as I mentioned a little earlier, the Maitland Greyhound Racing Club staged the heats of the Maitland Gold Cup on Thursday afternoon. The heat winners there were Hardaway Titan for Ron Marsden in 24.86, Fernando Blaster 24.70, Black Forge 24.81, Cormie Hugo 24.89, Dinah Hunter 25.01. The box draw for this Thursday night's final is Fernando Blaster has come up with box number 1. Number 2 is Call Me Hugo, 3 Dinah Hunter, 4 Aston Duke, 5 Hardaway Titan, 6 Black Forge, 7 Burning Fuel, 8 is Corey Cody, and the reserves Flying Apollo and Pindari Express. Fernando Blaster has been installed the $2.10 favourite. Pindari Express, the second reserve at $3. Hardaway Titan, $3.60. Corey Cody at $7. Dinah Hunter, $7. Black Forge at $7. Call Me Hugo at $17. Burning Fuel, $34. Aston Duke, $34. And Flying Apollo, also at $34. Coming online to join us this morning is Terry Jordan. He's the trainer of the pre-post favourite for the final, Fernando Blaster. Terry, good morning to you.
Good morning, John.
Terry, you've made another feature final with Fernando Blaster.
I have. I must nearly be due to win one, I think.
You haven't had a lot of luck in feature races due to bad box draws or just circumstances that the race has panned out, but he gets his chance on Thursday night.
Yeah, fingers crossed for a bit of luck and no bad luck.
You ran the fastest time there, as I mentioned, in 24.70. He came off box number 1 last week. He was second away. Burning Fuel beat him out, but then he quickly mustered speed and was able to race away by 3.5 lengths over the concluding stages. Terry, we spoke to you just before the National Derby, and of course you had box number 1 there, and and those circumstances, he was posying up into a good position going to the first turn, but was absolutely turned sideways at the first turn, and he was knocked off his feet and lost considerable ground there. But he then had the hide to pick himself up and was challenging wide coming to the home turn and still putting himself into the picture. But that early effort just told on that particular night. So there was another one that may have got away.
Yeah, it certainly did, but that's dog racing. We all accept the good with the bad, and you can't sit back and dwell on those things, and let's all go forward again.
Terry, we've seen recently at Albion Park in Brisbane what he can do, given a good clean getaway, and he blew them away recently at Albion Park, running 29.74, and that was an outstanding effort on that particular night. So the Greyhound, given even luck, has the ability to be able to put the time on the board.
Oh, yeah. He certainly has. Yeah, he can. He's run time wherever I've taken him. I scratched him from Albion Park a couple of weeks ago with a small injury, and he hadn't had a run for a couple of weeks. And I took him to Casino over the 4.11, and broke the track record there. So I knew he was in good form going down to Maitland. I took him down there and trialled him there, and he broke 25, and if he didn't break 25, I might have reconsidered. But he's got amazing pace. His first section's not out of the box. He's not great, but after about 30, 40 yards, he just turns the afterburners on.
Now, what about after Thursday? You were telling us before the National Derby, you actually left him in Sydney. Did you do the same plan this time, or did you bring him home to familiar surroundings?
No, we've gone down and back in the last 2 weeks. I mean, this would be third week in a row. I think we'll be clocking up about 38, 40 hours down and back, down and back. So I just hope that doesn't take its toll. It's taken its toll on me. I don't know about the dog.
Mm-hmm. Now, what about preparation? Does he need much preparation in between runs? What have you done with him since Thursday?
Not a great deal. He won't do much. He's we machined him on Saturday on the ultrasound. He had a light sprint up on Sunday, just a whistle up, and he'll have a machine again tonight, and then he'll have another whistle up tomorrow morning, and yeah, that'll be it.
And he's pulled up quite fine after the run on Thursday.
It was a bit jagged on Friday morning. I thought he felt it, but no, he's recovered well since then.
Is that something that you've got to watch with him? That how he does recuperate in the next 24 hours after a run?
Yeah, I've just got to make sure he's well hydrated. That's the main thing. But he gets plenty on the way home and. He always gets a chocolate drink and a bit of chicken or a McDonald's on the way home. So he's quite happy to travel because he knows he's going to get those treats, I think.
He gets better looked after than his trainer, by the sound of it.
I haven't missed McDonald's either. Do you want to tell you the truth?
Oh, okay. Righto. What he gets, you don't miss out on.
No.
Now, Terry, what about plans after Maitland on Thursday? What have you got anything mapped out at this stage for him going forward?
Not really. I'll make a decision after Thursday. If he wins, I'll have no choice but probably head down towards Easter Egg. Probably long term, I was looking at the Derby heats in Queensland in May. So, that's probably the plan. If he wins, I'll probably head towards the Easter Egg. If he puts in the shocker, I'll probably pull up stumps. But we'll make the decision on Thursday night, I think.
All right, so just see how he pulls up on Thursday or going into Friday, and then
yeah.
Well, as you said, like he's had the experience around Wentworth Park, not all good, but he was able to win. He was able to get through to the final of the National Derby, so he's had that experience, and a try in the Golden Easter Egg may not be beyond him.
No, I think I certainly think he can probably win a heat. Whether he can go with those top Victorian dogs in the finals, I don't know yet, but we may find out.
And, of course, he's put the time on the board, as I said, at Albion Park, 29.74, so he probably wouldn't be out of a place in his own age group there in the Derby come middle of the year.
Oh, geez, no, that's probably right up his alley.
What about owner Merv Pratt? I'm sure he's getting a great thrill out of Fernando Blaster in each and every run that he has, and I'm sure he would have been pleased as punch after the win there on Thursday.
It's Merv Papworth, Johnny.
Oh, Per Papworth, sorry.
Papworth, yeah. No, he was here on Thursday. He drove up from Sydney, and poor bugger left, and I think he hit that terrible storm that was around Dapto area. So I think he had a pretty rough trip home on Thursday night, but he'll be buttering up. He'll be back there again on Thursday.
I'm sure he will.
He loves the dog. Absolutely.
Terry, have you had a look at the field? What do you think is the main danger there on Thursday night?
I'm a bit worried about Cormie Hugo. He can go very, very quick early, and he seems to like to go left out of the boxes. So I really need to probably either clear him or hope he comes out pretty ordinary because, there's not much between them. Going into the first section, I think there's four 100s of a second between the fastest and the slowest, so yeah, it could be carnage on the first corner, I think, on the big bend there.
Yeah, it's a great field. Dinah Hunter, the Warrigal Cup winner. Black Forge, who was a nice run there the other day. And the other Queenslander, Corey Cody. It's well suited out wide in box number 8. And Hardaway Titan was a nice run the other day as well. So it's a very, very, very strong field, the Maitland Cup final on Thursday night. Terry, thanks for joining us this morning. And we wish you and Merv Papworth the best of luck there with Fernando Blaster, the pre-post favourite in the Maitland Cup on Thursday night.
Thanks, John. Thanks very much.
That's Terry Jordan joining us this morning, trainer of Fernando Blaster, who is the favourite for the Maitland Cup come Thursday night. Well, on Saturday night at Cannington over in the West, we had six heats of the Perth Cup and three heats of the Galaxy. And the man that was behind the 10.50s and the broadcasting position, Peter O'Neill, joins us on Going Greyhounds this morning. Pete, good morning to you.
Good morning to you, John, everyone. Yeah, wonderful night of chasing it was over here at Cannington, and an exciting two finals coming up on this Saturday night.
Peter, we might touch on the Perth Cup first of all, and we didn't have to wait long for a greyhound to set the track alight, and that was the Victorian Orson Ellen, trained by Corey Grenfell, running 29-32, just a smidgen outside of the track record.
Yeah, less than half a length outside of Quick Jagger's track record. He's an outstanding chaser. This is his 12th group final that he's making and his third group one. He's an outstanding chaser. Flew around, went 5.37 early, which is very, very quick. I think West on August is the only greyhound that's gone quicker than that over here in WA over the 520 metres. And going off the back, he went 18.15. And when he was out in front, we knew he was going to be running some time. And I was even surprised that he could stop the clock that quick, 29.32. An exciting greyhound, and it's really good to have him over here in Western Australia. Two greyhounds owned by Brendan Wheeler that have made it through. Of course, Dinah Paddy won the second heat after having to run down Kiss Me Linda. Dinah Paddy came under all sorts of inconvenience coming out of the boxes, and then also on that first corner that she was able to level herself up, and the Australian Cup winner made it through to the final next week as well.
Pete, the Western Australian team would have been happy with Campini winning the third heat for Paul Stewart in 29.62.
Yeah, interesting chaser. He was only having his 14th start. He's won 9 of them. He has a personal best of 29.43. And if you have a look at the replay, the amount of trouble that he had to overcome, and he still won in 29.62. So it was a really quick time for him. He's a greyhound that loves to crash to the inside. He is the interesting greyhound in the final because of the fact that I believe he can match it with Orson Ellen. If he draws box number one, it's fantastic. And if he draws wider on the track, any greyhound that's drawn on his inside is going to be in a little bit of trouble because he can jump and he does go directly left. So two greyhounds owned by Cass Levitsky, who's Ryan Levitsky's wife, and Peter Cameron. They've got two runners through to the final. Of course, Campini being one of those, and the other Paul Stewart trained 88 and ran second in the following heat behind West on Orbe, who jumped well from box number 4, the Greyhound of the Year National Sprint winner, and a Greyhound who only went 29.72, but again, he had to overcome some early bumping coming out of the boxes from box number 4. And John, I don't know if you've seen it before, but all of the six winners on Saturday night came from either box 4 or box 5, so three of them from box number 4, including Hector Vale, a previous Australian Cup winner who's now trained by Enzo Credelli. And then Hasten slowly won the final heat for Angela Langton. So that was a remarkable occurrence there on Saturday night.
Yeah, you don't often see that, the squeeze boxes featuring in feature races. But as you say, that the 4 and the 5 were pretty much to the 4 there in all the heats. Pete, the 6 heats, of course, the box draw not conducted as yet. That will be done later tonight, will it?
It will be. There's a presentation tonight along with the track stars and leading trainers for 2018. We've held it off until the box draw, so you wait 3 months before you find out what we already know who's won the awards, but they get presented with those awards tonight. And we have the two box draws tonight as well. And you're about to get across to the Galaxy. And while it's probably one of the weakest Galaxy series that we've seen, we've got the best in Australia, and that's Tornado Tears. And he was just dynamic on Saturday night. He took 6 or 7 lengths off the track record, a track record that was set not by Nyaza, but by one of David Hobby's greyhounds. I've just forgotten my name, but I'll get that for you. A greyhound by the name of Neil Minnelli, his previous time of 41.66. And Tornado Tears jumped brilliantly. He was the quickest of the first section of the three heats, which is unlike him. and he went off the back in 29.64. Once he got to that stage, I knew that we had a track record coming up because he's so strong, and he stopped the clock 41.25, which was a remarkable effort for a greyhound that we've seen across Australia, and we're very lucky to have him across here in third.
Yeah, we've been lucky enough to see him up in Queensland, and he had that time off, but it looks as though he's come back bigger, brighter, better than ever. Of course, he trialled their solo over the 600 and went under the track record in that solo trial last week, and now he holds the 715 metre record there, and he absolutely blew the field away. And I was glad you got a Batman in there somewhere in the call on Saturday night.
He's a beautiful-looking dog, isn't he? And, yeah, I was thinking about that before the race, and my partner said, well, what did Robin used to say? So I thought I'd throw that in if I could. And when he skipped away down the back, it just opened up to put a little bit of colour into the call. And he's a very exciting greyhound, as I mentioned. Having him across here, across in Western Australia, with some of the star sprinters like Orson Allen, Dinah Paddy, and also Hasten Slowly, it's just added to our carnival. And there was a really good crowd there on Saturday night come out to see Tornado Tears.
Of course, the other two Heat Galaxy winners were outshined in 42.39 and Reedy's Runner in 42.01. Probably any other year, you'd be saying Reedy's Runner, the local, would be very hard to beat, but taking on the best in the land in Tornado Tears.
Yeah, we thought that Moment to Drive would be our second or our best hope, and she didn't actually make it through to the final. Reedy's Runner did beat Moment to Drive a couple of starts ago. He went close to his personal best there on Saturday night, 42.01. His best is 41.97. He has had 6 wins from 12 starts. He's slowly away, though. And I just see that Tornado Tears is going to settle in second or third place early, and it'll just be what sort of time he can run and whether he can break that track record again. We've got a price up over here at the moment, $1.15. He started $1.04 or $1.06 on Saturday night, and I'd be shocked if he doesn't start at that price again next Saturday night.
It'd probably be just bad luck, like the Meadows run the other week that beat him coming up on Saturday night.
I don't think bad luck is going to cause him too much problems in his field because of the fact that there's not a lot of pace in the race. And even if he blew the start, which he didn't do the other night, he's been jumping very well over here. If he blew the start, then you might say he has to overcome the field. But I just can't see how he gets beaten.
All right, so we'll go one out, Tornado Tears and the Galaxy. Pre-box draw, what's your early thoughts for the Perth Cup?
Well, Orson Allen was absolutely awesome. And going on the time, you'd have to say Orson Allen's the on-top selection. But as I said, the box draw is very, very important. If a Campini West on Augie draws box one or two, then it changes it all around. If Dinah Paddy draws box one, it changes it also. Hecton Bale, not overly quick out. Hasten Slowly as well, hasn't got that early speed. And Kiss Me Linda, she was a really good story there on Saturday night. This is the first greyhound owned by a group of jockeys, including the three Parnham brothers and also Ryan Hill, their leading jockeys over here in WA. They ventured into owning a greyhound, and she jumped brilliantly from box number 6. She was able to cross the field. She squeezed them up early. She put a bit of a gap on them, and then Dinah Paddy had to overcome the trouble to be able to run her down. If there was trouble on that first corner, and there is a fair bit of speed, and again, depending on the box draw where Campini draws, which I think is critical tonight, even something like a Kiss Me Linda, if she could get out in front, scoot away, she might be able to cause an upset. But at this stage, I'd have to tip Orson Allen.
All righty. All right, Pete, thanks for joining us this morning, and no doubt you'll keep our listeners and viewers up to date with the box draw come later on tonight through social media handles, I'm sure, and we wish you and the club the best of luck there with the finals on Saturday night.
Thanks very much, John. You keep tuned in to the radio tonight and also Sky Racing. We've got about around 7 o'clock WA time. We should have the box draws through, and I'll pass those on down the line and be able to keep everyone up to date, and then we'll get the latest prices coming out as we count down to the Group 1 Sky Racing Perth Cup and Galaxies on Saturday night. Thanks for your time.
Righto, thank you, Peter. Peter O'Neill, leading Western Australian race broadcaster for Greyhound Racing over in the West. Well, last night at Murray Bridge in South Australia, they had the Murray Bridge Cup for the very first time, and it was taken out by the Victorian I Got It, trained by Andrew Paraskevas, and the greyhound was able to win in 25 and 61, defeating Private Nangar for Troy Murray, and Pennyworth was third for Jessica Sharp. The winner scored by three and three quarter lengths in 25.61 and took out the $15,000 first prize there, was able to lead all the way, and I Got It is building up a great impressive record. It's had 26 career starts now for 21 wins, 2 seconds and two thirds. It's only been out of a place once in its lifetime career, so, and was able to win the inaugural Murray Bridge Cup there last night. So we're hoping to catch up with Andrew Paraskevas, and hopefully he'll be online in just a moment. And I think we've got Andrew coming online to join us this morning. Andrew, good morning to you.
Good morning. How are you?
I am well, thank you. Congratulations. I'm sure that you've got glowing reports about the Murray Bridge track after I Got It was able to win there last night.
Yeah, look, we've been up there. I think that's our third trip there in the last sort of 4 to 6 weeks. And look, I've been a rat from it since the first time we went there. So it's very much similar to like our country tracks here. So, yeah, they've done a really good job of the track up there. So, yeah, no complaints from us.
Andrew, I said, as I mentioned, he's had the 26 starts for 21 wins, 2 seconds and two thirds, only been out of a place once in his lifetime career, and that was a fall that he was about to take the lead in, and I'm sure blow them away on that night, but he just wasn't able to cross from a wide alley, and down he went.
Yeah, look, he fractured his shoulder quite significantly that night. He had the kink at Geelong, and he was just, like you said, just about to cross the field, and I can't remember exactly what happened, but he took a tumble, and you know, it wasn't very pleasant watching it. I wasn't there at the track that night, but he's come back and made a full recovery, which is good. But it was touch and go there for a little while. He spent sort of probably the best part of 10 weeks on the sidelines after that. He hasn't put a foot wrong since.
Of course, you gave him a lot of experience up the straight at Healesville, and of course he holds the track record there over the 350-metre journey. He certainly can straight, and he's certainly now producing that on the horseshoe-type tracks as well.
Yeah, look, he's a very, very quick dog. He's what you'd probably classify as a short courser at this stage. But look, he's run time everywhere he's been. He trialled early days, you know, as a free trainer at Warrigal, but probably after he had raced, but they'd run, you know, sort of 22.20 around there, you know, very early on. So he's done it up the straight and around the circle. Like you said, he had a couple of little metacarpal issues as a pup. So, the straight was just an easy way to bring him back to racing. And because he competed so well there, we just sort of kept him there whilst the feature races were on. And, so he hasn't had a lot of experience around the circle, but for no other reason that he was going so well at Healesville as well.
And that injury, now that he's racing on the circle, obviously giving him no trouble now.
Look, it hasn't. Probably his first couple of starts, it's up the straight was fantastic. He broke the record, I think, his first run back. I did try and probably push him a little bit hard. He had a run at Warrnambool. He broke the first section record and he ran quite well, but he didn't really recover as well as I would have liked in between that little period. But now that he's had 3 or 4 conditioning runs around the circle, he's been pulling up a lot better. So we're going to obviously continue to keep him around the circle and push forward from there. But no, he's been going really well.
Well, the Murray Bridge 2 runs over the 455 is the longest journeys that he's ever been, but he's handled it to perfection over the last fortnight.
Yeah, no, he's been going terrific. But we haven't really pushed him, like you said, very much further than I think he went ahead in a final at Shepparton over 390. And he did trial probably, if I say more than twice around the circle, I'd be lying. Like he ran some really quick times at Warrigal, then he raced at Shepparton, but he hadn't really trialled a lot around the circle after he commenced racing. Like he started off at the Healesville Vic Breeders, which he won, and after that, he didn't do a lot of trialling around the circle, but we always thought he'd run a little bit further than our 390s, but just never had the opportunity to do it up until now. So I think we'll have to look at keeping him over 450 for the short term anyway.
Now, I was going to say, have you ever considered trialling over the 500, or has he had a go at the 500 in trials at all?
No. He's basically, I said this to someone the other day, his race form is pretty much his trial form as well. He had a race at Bendigo over the 425, and that was actually the furthest he'd ever been. We never trialled him there or anything. We used that as sort of a lead-up to Murray Bridges. It's what I would consider probably very similar, in shape and tractability. So outside of that, no, he'd never been. He had a couple of trials at Warragul, and he'd never trialled at Warrnambool. He never trialled at Shepparton. So he hasn't been a Sandown or the Meadows. He probably doesn't strike me as a 500-metre dog. The way he stuck out the 450 last night, you never know, but probably not on the cards at this stage.
Well, there is plenty of country cups around Victoria that's worth a bit of money over the 400 metres journey, so no doubt you'll target some of those throughout the year, provided he stays sound.
Yeah, look, hopefully there's some feature races in him around Victoria. Like I said, there's plenty of opportunities down here, so we'll just have to map out a program for him. I haven't had a good look to see what is around. I know Warrnambool's coming up probably 4 weeks, I think it is. We might head towards that, and yeah, we'll see what the future brings. But he's probably fifth grade everywhere down here, so there's a lot of opportunities for him around the country if he doesn't run 500, which I'm not sure whether he will or won't. But yeah, there's definitely a lot of scope left in him at this stage.
So just look at those sprint race country cup series, and you may eventually give him a test at 500 to see if he can actually run it.
Yeah, look. Someone asked me last night the same thing, has he ever run 500? And before that, I'd never considered it. He doesn't strike me as a 500-metre dog, but, mm-hmm. You know, like those get-out-and-go types, they can always, you give them a soft 500 and, you know, it's sort of catch me if you can, I guess, isn't it? Like if they get out in front, and he does rail really well. So his tractability, he may suit 500. I just don't know. But look at one of those things I hadn't put a lot of thought into before, sort of yesterday, I guess. But we'll see what the future holds.
Well, he's certainly giving you a great ride at the moment. As I said, 26 starts for 21 wins, and may the luck and success continue. And sure, the ride will continue with him the way he's travelling at the moment. And good luck, and congratulations on winning the inaugural Murray Bridge Cup yesterday in South Oz.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you.